What's up, iRaters? Welcome to episode 17 of iRations, The Uplifter. I am your host, Drake Peterson. We are here with the boys of iRation every single week on all podcast platforms to raise your spirits, answer some questions, talk music, talk shop, and of course, talk all things iRation. Today's episode is dedicated to the track Zen Island from the most recent album, Coastin', which came out a few weeks ago. In just a short bit, I will be bringing the Micahs on for Sample This. But first, let's get to the news. We are happy to announce some new dates for our rescheduled Coastin' tour in 2021. We are ready to move forward, supremely hopeful and excited for a safe return of live music, and we cannot wait to play all these brand new songs for you. We will be starting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on June 23rd of 2021, and then shortly after, we will be hitting states like Texas, Nevada, California, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Vermont, Arizona, Oregon, New Mexico, Washington, Idaho, and a few others. So if you want to go and get some of those tickets, go to irationmusic.com today. Also, we just released the lyric video for Home Tonight. If you haven't had a chance to watch that yet, go to irationmusic.com. Or you can go to our YouTube channel and you can watch that video right now. It's now time for Sample This, where we take one iRation song and break it down. In this segment, you'll be hearing samples and sound clips from the studio version of Zen Island. Joining me today are Micah Brown and Micah Pushel. What's up, boys?
Hey, hey, hey.
Push, it looks like you're on a bit of a Zen Island right now with this background.
I think it's like Cancun or some
it's
shit,
but really, you know, windy, whatever. Though.
Same thing.
Your hair is like, you have a lot of hairspray in it because your hair is not moving for some reason.
I'm known to use a lot of product.
So Zen Island,
we call him Helmet Head, Lord Helmet.
So Zen Island is a song about a dream and a magical journey to get back to a world at peace. I want to know what started the overall idea of this song, because I know it was made over a year ago. And it's very relevant right now because I think we are all ready to get back to a world at peace. What do you have to say about that, Poosh?
Yeah, I think when we first started the sessions for kind of this project, it started with Chill Out and Zen Island. They were the first kind of two songs that we did. And I think the focus at that time was really about having the songs have a specific feel more than anything and have a specific, almost like a transportative, is that a word? Transportative
word?
Feel to them, where it takes you to, I think it is a word, but we'll debate that later. But having the ability to transport you to somewhere else, right? To make you feel at ease, make you feel something kind of this lush sound on the sonic level, like more of a lush, reverby, kind of outer worldly feel. Kind of similar. We were kind of playing off what Fly With Me felt like. You know, because it had this really positive reaction to people. We all really liked the way it sounds, the way that it felt. And so we were kind of like, well, let's take what we kind of did with that and try to, you know, keep that vibe going. And then, you know, Chill Out came, and then we did this song, Zen Island. And it was just about trying to have a song that takes you to a peaceful place. And it was more about a feel than anything when we first started.
So the correct way is Zen Island is very transportive. Is the transportive.
Sorry.
Yes. Is it? It isn't.
Yes.
You added that little tate. You got to get that tate out of there.
Hey, man. I love taters.
So this song also is a vibe similar to what we talked about last week. But one thing that is very prevalent in this song is the use of reverb. Lots of reverb on pretty much everything. MB, will you explain what reverb is?
Reverb,
yeah, like what
it is. It's short for reverberation, which is like an echo. So make whatever you hear in the sound where you hear echoes or long trails of a word that kind of tail off slowly and you feel like you're in a big empty hallway or echo chamber, that's what reverb is. There's different types of reverb. There's spring reverb, which is more common in old vintage tube guitar amps, like that kind of classic Fender guitar tone with the spring reverb is what you hear in a lot of old school music and music today because people just love that sound. And then there's like hall reverb, which is bigger, kind of like if you think about when you're in an old Catholic church or and you hear a choir singing and it's very echoey and big, it just adds kind of space and depth and scale to your tone and makes it, it can make it stand out, and it can also blend it in. Like, you can use reverb in a lot of different ways. I think in this song, I think it was like, what, going back to what Push was saying about wanting to create that lush soundscape and that dreamy texture and just that trance kind of feel to the tones of the song. And you can use reverb to do a lot of that. And you can get different tones that may be more harsh when they're dry. You know, they call it, to be dry is to have like not a lot of reverb. If you're in, if you're trying to wet something up in the studio, that you're asking for more reverb. So this song, you know, there's a lot of intermingling of different reverbs together that can take the harsh tone of something and make it more mellow feeling.
Yeah, and I think it's all about fitting the sounds together into like one, so that it feels like they're in one place, you know, and like one environment, as opposed, you know, you don't want to have something that's really dry, you know, next to something that sounds like you recorded in Staples Center, you know, by yourself. So, you know, it's all about making things kind of work together and creating like an overall like room that everything is kind of in.
Together. Yeah. Like if you think about if you're in nature, that's kind of what nature is. Like you hear water, waves crashing or a babbling brook, you hear wind rustling through trees, you hear birds chirping, you know, all these kind of soundscapes that are all into one atmosphere that you're in the moment. And it's like, they're all separate, but they're all kind of feeling together. If you were to try to record those all separately and then put them all into a track, it would feel very disconnected. So what's missing is like that live reverberation that happens in the actual atmosphere. So recreating that in the studio, you can do that with using reverb.
We could do a whole episode about
it. Oh, I know. Yeah, no, that's more than enough. Micah Brown, I want to talk very quickly about guitar tones. If anyone's ever seen Iration on stage, Micah Brown has a very large pedal board. Is this something that you would use in the studio, or did you use like Kempers, which we can even go into what a Kemper is briefly, but what did you use mostly on this song?
For me in the studio, I don't usually ever bring my tour pedal board. I mean, I'll bring it sometimes if there's a certain tone that I know I want to recreate exactly live and I have it on my pedal board, I'll do that. Like Ottawa, you know, which is the it's like a pedal that emulates a wah pedal. That's a whole nother episode, but there's certain things that I have in my kind of repertoire that I don't know how to recreate with plugins, or, you know, I'm sure I could if I went down a deep hole, but it's like knowing I just have that tone at my disposal if I want it. So yeah, I can bring my pedal board in, but a lot of the tones on Zen Island are pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of weird stuff going on in guitar, at least, because there's a lot of stuff like that going on with synth. So I wanted the guitar to just be a little bit more straightforward and just like classic tones.
Are you using a nylon guitar in like say the bridge area and later in the second half of the song?
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, it's an acoustic guitar. Is it just a different type of string that makes it nylon?
Yeah, the strings are made out of nylon, so they're not metal and they're not wound. Usually, actually, the bottom couple strings, like the low E and the low A, sometimes are wound, but they're not usually steel. The top four strings, which are usually like a thin piece of steel on an acoustic or even electric, they replace those with nylon strings, which just gives it this kind of softer overall kind of lush sound too. You know, it's like when you strung those out, it's not metallic, it's not tingy, it's kind of more like soft and you know, like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, lush.
It's the sound that you would associate with like flamenco music or like,
yeah,
you know,
a lot of classic jazz, flamenco, Spanish, a lot of different cultures use that style guitar, because I think those strings were probably around a lot longer than steel strings. Like, maybe, I'm not sure what the history of the string is, but which one came first. But yeah, it has that kind of vintage classic retro feel to it. And the guitar itself is my dad's Yamaha G50, which was made in Japan in like the late 60s, early 70s. So it's like a vintage Japanese Yamaha, which is pretty awesome.
Push, there's a lot of ukulele in this whole album. Why couldn't we hear uk on any of the other albums as much as this album?
I think because the way that we use the ukulele, just we used it as like a textural thing more than anything. I think on, you know, Learn From Me and in the song, I think we kind of added it as a textural thing. And a lot of it just has to do with the fact that it's a Zen island, you know, and an ukulele is kind of associated with an island feel. It's associated with that peaceful strumming, that kind of nice high tone. So you kind of use it. We used it a lot as more of a textural rhythmic thing, rhythm guitar type feel, you know. So it was more to add an interesting, nice, peaceful texture to the music more than it was, you know, we're using it for like soloing or doing any other stuff like that. But yeah, I think, I don't know if, the reason why. I think just maybe the songs just kind of suited having ukulele on it on this record. I think just because the record itself is more of a, you know, it has that peaceful feel to it in a lot of the songs, and it has that vibe. I mean, it's only it's not on that many songs. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's like,
I think
two
it's
songs?
On Guava Lane, Zen Island, Learn From Me.
Oh, and Guava Lane too. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe, I guess that's just three, but yeah.
Yeah. So the island, you know, the island songs for the most part, I think the reason we use it on Learn From Me is that Learn From Me is intended to be kind of more like a lullaby type of feel and kind of a nice, like simple song. And, you know, it just felt right. I think we trusted our gut with that. I think, you know, ukulele just has a specific vibe to it.
And do you think subconsciously growing up, everybody learning ukulele and it being so prominent in Hawaiian music and culture that like subconsciously you guys didn't want to lean on that? So you almost like didn't turn to it a lot of times early on and just like stayed away from acoustic music in general and just kind of was trying to be a different sound?
Well, I think in Hawaii, there's a lot of reggae that's done with acoustic guitars and ukulele, and it's like a lot of bands like Kapena, which is like a huge, or Crater Boys, were like bands that we grew up listening to and loving, and or Hawaii Kane, and they're like bands that the rhythms are played on acoustic, you know, like the rhythm chanks and like everything's done on acoustic guitars and ukuleles. And so for us, it has a very specific feel to it and a connotation, you know. It's very Hawaiian local style music. And I just think that, you know, it just has a different feel to it. When I hear that, I hear something different, you know, and I think maybe that's what it is. But, you know, I'm not against using ukulele, obviously, because we used it three times on the record. I think it's more about when it feels like it sits right in a mix, or, you know, obviously it has an island feel to it. So if you want to, you know, get that going, I think that's what we kind of used it for. Guava Lane, Zen Island, and then Learn From Me.
Yeah, and on Double Up, we use it a lot more. We use it on almost every song when we did our acoustic album. So it's like, yeah, there's definitely places in our catalog where it's a lot more prominent for sure. Lost and Found, other songs. So
speaking of first, I think this is the first time that there was ever a modulation or key change in an iration track. Is that correct, Poosh?
Yeah,
adds that's a very true. Nice lift, yeah. Right before that, right after the bridge.
First time we ever had saxophone.
Yes, that was going to bring me to my next question. Micah Brown, you brought in Adrian Olmos into the iration camp a while ago. How did you meet Adrian?
I met Adrian through a mutual friend, Henry, who introduced him to me when I was working with Henry when he owned this clothing brand called Creative Minds and Visions, CMV for short, based out of Brea here in Orange County. And so that first kind of summer I met him and was helping him promote, and he kind of you know, signed me to his clothing brand as a brand ambassador in a way. And Adrian was another musician that he knew from Orange County that we were going to do a photo shoot together in San Diego. And so that was the first time I ever met him. We were just going to be big, beautiful male models for CMV clothing. And then just come to find out, he's like, yeah, I play in a bunch of bands. I play sax. He jammed with a other mutual friend, Delmos Wade, who's like a Long Beach funk producer and really all around amazing musician and just badass. And so he jammed with people I knew of, and we just, you know, I was doing the Micah Brown band back then, and it was cool to just add brass to that because I only had violin at the time. And so adding Adrian as another soloist was cool for me, just because I could, as I started to add to the Micah Brown band, it was like I wanted soloists who could fill a lot of the riffs and things that I do on my albums. Maybe if it's not necessarily the same instrument, you know, just having that ability to recreate these songs live the way that they were in the studio. And so that's how I first brought him in. And then obviously as I joined Iration and started touring and focusing less on Micah Brown music per se, you know, once we started expanding, I knew that the first couple of years we weren't really doing brass either. And so once that door kind of opened and the opportunity was there, I'd always had him in mind to throw his hat in the ring to join us. And yeah, I think that's summer of 18 when we were doing the full three-piece horn section was you, him, and Tony.
That and that was fun. Really fun. We'll have to do that again when we can go back out on stage. Yeah, yes. Poosh, what is a modulation or a key change?
Well, modulation is a key change. It's a key change. It is what it is. Yeah, it's the first time we've used the modulation. I think that it just felt like the right type of song. It was in the hardest thing about doing a key change for us is that when you're doing it live, you have to vocally change keys, which is pretty difficult, to be honest. Like when you're playing in a live setting, you're locked into this, you know, you get used to, you know, being in one key, you kind of know where it is always, you know, as a vocalist. And then when you throw a key change in, it's very counterintuitive to switch into a key. So because you're so focused on staying in the key that you're in, that going up a half step or a full step or whatever it is feels really awkward to your ear. And it has to be like, if you don't hit it, you can get lost. So it's kind of a daunting, you can kind of get lost in the whole thing. It's a daunting thing. So I think a big portion of that was just like us being like, well, that's pretty scary to do live, because if you mess it up, it can go really wrong. Like, it can go really right. I mean, we haven't played Zen Island yet, so I'm pretty sure, you know, after hearing it enough times that I know where to go, and musically when we move, we can make it work. But it's like, you know, it's just one of those things that maybe you don't think about all the time. I think it takes the right song to really have it. I think a lot of artists, you know, realize that it is a fun thing to do musically, and it is interesting. And, you know, a lot of great songs have modulations, and why not? It's just, you know, it's just us exploring other avenues of songwriting and musicality.
Luckily, I think, for this modulation, it has a, you know, a nice walk up, you know, kind of a scale walk up. And I think it'll be very easy to
do. Two.
Yeah,
two scale walk-ups.
Purposefully.
Honestly, yeah, because he'll be able to hear the new key once you start the second walk-up, which is cool. And it's like, it actually has a real reason for there to be like a bridge, you know? Like a lot of the songs, you know, it's just like, oh, bridge goes here because it breaks up the, you know, there's like a formula to it. But this cool thing about this song is like we utilize the bridge to do something more interesting in the music, which we've never done. And yeah, I think it's one of those things that it's not perfect for every song, and it's just like when you know it feels right and that's the lift the song needs, then it can be really cool.
My favorite song with modulation is Beyonce Love on Top, where she modulates like 10 times.
Love on Top.
It's so
good. I knew
it.
I was gonna,
it's
I
like,
was
oh
just
my god, is
that.
She gonna keep going? She just keeps going over and over and over again. So if you want to figure out what modulation is, listen to Zen Island and then go listen to some Beyonce. I do have a bone to pick. I found some fake trumpet and trombone in this, so I will be sending Dave a really nice message today. I'm just kidding.
Uh-oh.
I know. I've already bought a saxophone.
And funny, little known fact about the early demo versions of this song, it featured the uncleared sound clip of Barat saying,
oh, that's
sexy,
right.
Time.
I remember that.
Sexy time. And then Adrian hits that D and it's just like,
ooh. Why did you guys take it out?
I feel like that would have just gotten flagged for sure. I mean,
plus it's just silly.
It wasn't like a serious thing. There's been a lot of demos that have had fun little things for us to just laugh at while we're making it. And then it comes out of the final version.
It's kind of Dave's little things that he does, you know. We had this one sample of like, I think it was me going Micah Brown in the booth and he like made it sound really funny, and he just used it as like a tag on a bunch of Micah Brown whenever Micah Brown's in the booth.
Well, that brings me to my next question. There's a lot of little Easter eggs and a lot of ad libs too that I never heard when I was listening to the record by itself. Was there ever any time where you guys were like, okay, there's too much stuff? Like we need to reel it back, because there's so many tracks on this particular tune. Did you guys have to take anything out?
I definitely remember saying early on, like when it was just a lot of, I think what sometimes what Dave will do with his style is he'll throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and just see what sticks, which I like to do that as well. Like I like to come up with as many ideas, and I don't feel bad when I get edited or like when Dave and Mike are just like, no, we don't need that. Like I like to throw it out there as a maybe or what if. And so I think there was early versions where, yeah, we had more, and just the way sometimes the mix can come across when you're in the writing process, like not having a proper mix can make you feel like negatively about something if it's sticking out too much or if it's not vibing with what's going on. And so I definitely brought up like at times where I was like, I feel like it needs to come be reined back a little bit. But I think with the mix and just the way all the levels kind of work together, you can, you know, it's okay to have a lot as long as it works together. And I think there's nothing in the song that is like doesn't work with everything else.
Yeah, I think just to follow up on that, I think a lot of times in the process between writing, recording, and, you know, the finished product, there's this giant section where you're listening to reference mixes, which are basically mixes that your engineer or your producer or both are putting together a listenable mix of the of everything that's been recorded, so that when you listen to the song, you can kind of get a somewhat of an understanding of what it's going to sound like at the end product. But it ultimately never is really that close. I mean, in the most respects to what you actually get when you give it to a professional mixing engineer that's like a, you know, that does something to the song that puts everything in place, you know, makes it sound like puts the reverbs, certain reverbs and compression on everything to make it feel like it's together, places everything in your listening, you know, space, you know, left, right, you know, behind where everything goes. And, you know, the engineers, the mix engineers that we work with are
super
good.
This was Nico on this one that mixed this. Is that correct?
Yeah, Nico and Rob, Nico Marzoukas. So like, you know, when we do give them this one, there were a lot of passes because it was such a complicated mix. I think probably, you know, we did go back and forth with Nico and Rob like a few times just because it was a specific sound, I think, that we kind of had in our heads about it. And then for him to kind of take all these pieces and make that, you know, get it to where it was, where we wanted it to be, was, you know, that's a lot, to be honest. If you're not there for the whole process, you're just getting shit ton of files and they're like, okay, now mix these together and make them sound how we want them to sound, you know?
I do remember him commenting like, there's a lot of shit ton of stems on this one.
I mean, and that's how, you know, in the past, even on Time Bomb, if you go back and look at the tracks on that record, there are a lot, like, there's a lot of things happening, and we've kind of been a band that maybe in some respects on certain songs and certain things have done maybe a little too much, but, you know, you live and you learn. I think in this case, like, we know at this point in our career, we know we're better at editing and going, okay, well, this is a lot, but it's a lot in that, and it still works if you do everything together. And, you know, if sometimes you don't need it, you know, and we're able to be like, we need this or we don't need this.
It's really easy to overproduce, and it's not as easy to self-edit and make sure it's not too much. You know,
I mean,
so that's the art.
And that's why you see so many artists work with Rick Rubin, because he's like a master of deconstructing artists and like deproducing them and like getting them back to like the minimal, what you need to minimally be, still be like your core self and be the artist that everybody loves and what makes you great. And I think that's really the challenge of a producer and the challenge of a band that, you know, we're essentially kind of also co-producing our own records, like, is about finding the essence of what makes us us without overproducing and overusing all the tools that you have, because there are a bazillion tools that you can use now to make music. And so there is a, you know, it's like going to a buffet. It's like you want to try as many things as you can without stuffing yourself and like vomiting all over the floor when you're done. But like, you know, you want to have a nice complete plate. You want to have a nice dish. You don't want to just like slop a bunch of crap on your plate, and then at the end of it, you just want to, like, you know, throw up into a planter in a casino or something. Right?
What? The days of guys are over.
With me, right? I can't eat buffet. I never really was a big fan of buffets. They kind of, in college, just a side note, in college I went to a buffet with my rugby team, and just looking, for some reason I was just in an off mood, and I just looked at all this food there and I was like, it kind of grossed me out. Just seeing all this food, just like in things. I was like, ah. I can deal with it, but it's not
well, my favorite. Stay away from the buffet and eat fruit from the trees.
Cantaloupe.
All right, boys. Well, thank you for joining me. Any last words about the Zen Island?
Oh, you know, you're talking about little Easter eggs, and I just was going to mention on the end, the outro, the plane sound. I recorded that when I was on a walk with Lenny at Back Bay in Newport. And because we live right under John Wayne, you know, and so there's constantly planes taking off. And I was just thinking of that. It was when we were recording it, or probably when we were actually listening to those reference mixes that Mike is talking about. And I was like, it'd be cool to just have the end of the song be like a plane taking off, like they're flying back to Hawaii, like a literal kind of thought of the meaning of the song, just like as a sonic little nod at the end. And so I just grabbed my voice memos on my phone when I was walking Lenny one day, and there was all these trees like chirping and tweeting. And so it was kind of a cool little thing that I was able to, sometimes you just got to crack open that iPhone and get the voice memo rolling.
Love it.
You never know what you'll get.
Yeah, we made that mistake on our first stop.
The drive-thru scene.
Multiple times. Oh, don't even
talk
about it.
Would have been easier with just doing it as an iPhone, though, yeah, instead of getting the microphone on the street.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think we all had my iPhones at that time. As far as the lyrical content goes, you know, the song is called Zen Island. I think that was kind of more of a phrase that we used to kind of sum up what we wanted to do with the overall project and say, you know, zen, we want it to feel zenny, and you know, that's a term that we kind of use to make it feel like peaceful or like at one. And then island, which obviously with an island feel to it. So not only do we, you know, we try to create that as a sonic thing, but we also use the Zen Island, the Zen imagery and the lyrical content. So you know, we're talking about the in a blue lagoon, a self-reflection. You know, there's all these little Easter eggy, you know, Zen references in the verses as well. So it is one of those songs that I think people are going to be able to listen to many times, and maybe over the years they'll start to understand and get more out of the song. Even though the initial feeling is like, I love this song, it makes me feel like peaceful, it makes me feel, you know, relaxed or whatever the case may be. That's a lot of the responses that we've been getting. But, you know, there's more depth to it. I think as you listen on and kind of listen to the lyrics, I think you might be able to get more out of it.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the most visual songs on this album, too. But I think that is one of your strong suits when you're writing lyrics, is like coming up with painting a good picture with words. But this one definitely is just full of that. And to your point, too, about Zen Island as a theme, like I remember when we were, it was almost going to be like Zen Island EP, like four or five songs of just the chill out Zen Island, like super mellow vibe. And then it grew from that to being like, well, can be a stop on this journey that we're going through, you know? And so I think it's cool that was kind of at the heart of the whole thing, was just this, and thematically too, just going, you know, finding that happy place and, you know, using that as to give you strength in harder times, and just, you know, visualizing like where you want to be in life, something like that, you know? So it's like, I think overall there's, you know, that overarching message of this song kind of permeated through to the other songs as well in a way. And it was kind of like this is like the heart of the project for sure.
And again, it, for some reason, it just fits right in with the timing that we're in right now. You know, for some reason, all these songs, these inspirations came, you know, a year ahead of this pandemic, and it, you know, fitting in this time we're in right now. I'm pretty sure like a song like Zen Island is something that anybody could listen to and be like, you know, that makes me feel a little bit less anxious or less worried or whatever the case may be about the time period that we're in right now, or, you know, just take, it's an escape is what it is really. And I think that's fine. You know, I think that's a fine thing to enjoy in the time period that we're in right now.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of comments of people saying that this song has definitely helped ease their mind or get them out of some sort of spiral mentally or whatever that is that they're going through. And so just to know that something like a piece of music that we made can do that is definitely the most rewarding thing too.
I can't wait to play this song live and see how it sounds. Everything okay?
It'll sound good.
Everything okay?
No, I just did that in like a little spot of like island came on my, when it's on my hand.
See you all on the island. And now a word from Kelly Slater of Outer Known.
I started Outer Known to make clothing differently. Our jeans are made at the world's cleanest denim facility using less water, fewer chemicals, and organic cotton. We guarantee C jeans for life. Now your most comfortable jeans are also your most sustainable. C jeans, social, environmental accountability. Get yours at outerknown.com.
So MB, the other day we were over at the Common Kings drive-in show and both of us were wearing all Outer Known. What's your favorite product from Outer Known?
I definitely dig their jeans, their pants, their shorts. I have, I think, two pairs of C jeans and I just got these beach shorts that are super, super comfy. Drawstring thick though, so they're still casual looking. They're not like sweat
with two C's.
Just say boo-boo? Did you say BB shorts?
Beach shorts.
Beach shorts.
What are BB shorts? Oh, BB like the brand BB.
BB.
Okay, so continue. They basketball shorts maybe BB, but that being said, they're a lot more sturdy and casual looking than a sweat or a basketball short, and but they're just as comfy and you can wear them to bed and you could like wear them to church or wherever you go where you wear your nice Sunday best. So
take it to church with Outer Known. If you want to get 25% off, use our promo code COASTIN. That's COASTIN. That's COASTIN at outerknown.com for 25%
off. And if
you're
late for church, just wake up, roll out of bed in your beach shorts and just get there and nobody will even know.
Take me to church.
Now joining us are the rest of the boys.
Shit.
Adam. Adam.
Sorry.
What did he say?
Shit.
He said shit.
I hit the wrong button. Keep going.
Now joining us are the rest of the boys, Adam, Kaysen, and fresh out of surgery, Mr. Joseph Dickens. What's up, everybody?
What?
What up?
Joe, what? Want to give us a little update on what you went through?
I had to get some bone removed from the inside of my ear. It was really clogged. It was like 95% closed, the ear hole. So they had to chisel it out. And now I'm just plugging it up with a bunch of stuff and it's draining.
What causes that?
Fluids.
What causes that bone to grow in your ear, Joe, for the people?
It's called exostosis and it's from cold water and wind constantly like getting in the ear hole. So it's a natural reaction of your body to try to seal it up to protect your ear organ.
And it's commonly known as surfer's ear.
Yeah.
You guys surf?
Not anymore.
Wait, you surf?
Yeah, so Joe, what's the deal? Do you have to wear, from here on out, are you going to be wearing earplugs nonstop? Or?
No. Well, that depends on the hearing loss that came from like music. And, well, yeah, I'm gonna wear earplugs a lot anyway because you got to protect your ears. That shit is real. Like after this, like, don't mess around with your ears, your eyes. You got to take care of that stuff.
How long are you going to have that cotton swab in there for?
2 weeks. It's totally filled with like this gelatin, so I can't hear anything. But it's Yum. Somehow oozing like...
What flavor?
Blood.
Would you save me a little sample to
Ew.
Taste?
Oh my God.
Yeah,
guys,
I've got
stop.
A thing full of like...
Sample this. Swabs.
Perfect.
It's Vladim Taylor.
Guys, stop. That's so gross. I'm literally going to throw up right now.
Jesus.
Joe, Joe, is your equilibrium all thrown off because of that right now?
It's better than it was with the vertigo I had because of the surfer's ear, but now I just can't hear anything. So it's like, it's really annoying. I can't imagine being like deaf. This is the closest I've ever been and it really sucks.
And are you still wearing that like cone on your head that like they give to dogs?
I took
stuff?
It off for this, so I'm gonna put nice. It back on.
Asia had to remove it.
Yeah,
he's been bumping into
he's
things.
He's been bumping into the walls and knocking things off countertops.
Just don't lick your balls, all right?
So today on Sample This, we talked all about Zen Island. So for our discussion today, I want to know what y'all do to zen out. take us to your happy place. Adam, you want to start it off for us?
Okay, for around here, I have two that kind of come to mind. One is I like to go to the top of Rincon Point with Rudy, especially if there's waves, and we kind of walk the beach, and then there's a rock with another rock that's a perfect chair that I sit on every time. Surf, and Rudy will sit up there on the towel and kind of we'll just do laps on the point, and that's kind of a spot. And then there's also a place up in Ojai that I've been going to recently because there's been no surf. That's just a little private watering hole with about a 5-foot pool you can swim in, and Rudy will swim and we'll kind of chill up there.
Very nice. What about you, Kaysen? Other than Hawaii, which is one big Zen island, what's your happy spot?
My Zen island around here, I live in Santa Barbara, obviously. A place called Halama. It's like a campground that's north of here, about an hour. But you get out of town, you know, you go kind of into the natural world, into the open space. And yeah, it's a beach with good waves. And put your wetsuit on and stroll down the beach and kind of just get into your zenny personal space and get some waves and connect with nature.
Guys are in the area, definitely stop by and surf it.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop just by, kidding. Say hi.
Don't bring your camera crew.
How have the waves been, Kaysen? How have the waves been this summer, Case?
The last month, the month of July, has been pretty bad, pretty small. The beginning, 4th of July weekend, we got some really fun waves. I surfed with Adam a couple times down in Ventura and up at Halama as well. But yeah, it got really small after that, unfortunately. I'm sure Adam's been feeling it, and Jody's stoked to have gotten his surgery when he did, because he'll be out of the water. He's not missing much.
What about you, Poosh? Is it also surfing?
Yeah, I like to throw in my 4-3 and get out my Rhino Chaser.
He only surfs if it's double overhead minimum. Yeah,
that's why you rarely see me out there, but when you do, it's big for sure.
Boogie boards.
No, man, I grew out of the boogie board 6 months ago.
Sick El Rolos
on a kayak. I started boogie boarding on kayaks. It's much more difficult. I think my Zen place right now, usually it's probably the golf course. I'd say Bandon Dunes. It's not really not local, but usually it was the more Mesa Bluffs with the dog. Now that I have a baby, it's the Peloton bike, because I can like get on it and like exercise and put the headphones in and kind of just be focused for like 20 to 30 minutes, or taking a walk with Rolo. I have like a woods behind my house that I can kind of go for a stroll out there. It's nice and feels like I'm in nature a little bit.
That veranda you have looks pretty zenny too.
My backyard's pretty vibey. So we have a nice little, pagoda type thing, in the backyard. And we have like eight different names for it. Like Chloe calls it like a pergola. It's a gazebo. It's like a pergola. Like every word you can think of like that type of thing, we've been calling it. So, yeah, I mean, not a whole lot of places right now, just because it's hard to venture away with the baby. But you know, just anytime I can get out in nature or just have like a moment to myself, golf course probably number one.
MB, I'm sure you're gonna have a very similar answer, which is a golf course. Is that also your Zen zone?
I think on a regular, yeah, like as far as daily life goes and what we try to do, like when we're at home and not on the road, and even when we're on days off on the road, yeah, the daily kind of Zen is those activities like surfing, golfing, hiking, those kind of things. I think we all of us enjoy connecting with nature, and all of us love the ocean. I don't surf, but I still love the ocean. And one of my favorite memories of growing up is always camping on the beach. Like Pismo Beach, Carpinteria Beach, Leo Carrillo, but even places like Yosemite where there's lakes and rivers, you know, I think that's what most humans probably long for after like a time away from, you know, being stuck in their jobs or their offices or in their city landscapes. You know, it's like everybody kind of wants to disengage and go back to nature when they can. And I think golf is a good way to do that because there's a lot of nature that is intertwined with the game of golf. So yeah, I mean, it's like, it's all of those things really. But as far as like what it, like something that a place I envision wanting to go back to, I would say, I think, yeah, like Yosemite or Northern California is definitely a really cool place to visit if you haven't. I know it's probably not really popping off right now, but
Mendocino.
Yeah.
Mendocino.
So Poosh, when you say in the song Zen Island, eat fruit from a tree, I know MB might be thinking a cantaloupe or something. What kind of fruit would you be envisioning?
I didn't know cantaloupes grew on trees, but
where do cantaloupes grow? On a vine?
I think they grow on a vine, yeah.
Yeah, like a water.
On the ground. I think they come out of the ground.
They're melons.
Okay.
Look at these melons. What kind of
Adam has to come with a controversial statement with every time we do an uplifter. This time it's cantaloupe trees.
Cantaloupe gate.
Cantagate.
Okay, what kind of fruit are we thinking?
I think I was imagining like a coconut or banana or guava or passion, like lilikoi, passion fruit. Mm-hmm. Some like tropical.
Lilikoi, though, also is grown on a vine.
No, it's on a tree.
Lilikoi is on a vine.
It's a vine.
It's a vine that grows on trees, though, right?
True. Interesting. So Vinegate 2020 is...
All I know is that we had a giant tree in my neighborhood in Pauhau that had lilikois in it.
Interesting. So we'll have to dig into that next week.
Fruitgate. Fruit. Well, I mean, Adam, you have a nice avocado tree in your backyard, so that's probably the fruit that we're all going to be eating.
It's funny. I just heard a noise that sounded like something falling, and it was a huge avocado just dropped from the tree because it's pretty windy today. So
falling, another Iration song.
Check it out.
I was going to say my other Zen place is the toilet. I just realized.
Last bastion.
Yeah. Poosh, sure. You have a habit of right before sound check going to your Zen island in the bathroom and making everything about 15 minutes late every time.
Well, that's because once you commit to the sound check, there's also a meet and greet afterwards, which can go any number of. Some dude just called me on Facebook Messenger. Don't weird. Do that, please. That's weird. I don't even know who he is, so that's even weirder.
Answer it. Answer it.
So, yeah, I should do that.
That would be great.
No, but so you're committing to like two hours or like an hour and a half at least of like not pooping. So if you got to poop, like you probably want to go when you least need it, which is sound check takes like, you know, realistically it takes like a song or two for us to like get it right. And then, you know. You can't really commit to like 90 minutes of like not using the bathroom.
You're also walking towards the stage and like Joe's usually already there. So you're getting, maybe the bass is getting checked. So it's hitting those low notes that are just setting something in motion.
Or yeah. And just the sound of the sound for some reason just makes me want to, you know, go.
Another thing to keep in mind is if you got a poop and then that feeling goes away, where did the poop go? It's still there. It's going to come back at some point.
Poopgate 2020.
Think about
hiding.
That.
Hiding.
Joe, where's your happy place other than the toilet five times a day? What's your happy place?
Jesus.
If I'm not pooping, we've got a couple rivers out here in Ventura that I like, that I usually go to, that have good waves and there's nobody around. Usually beautiful. If not, though, I guess it's more of a hypothetical place, like in my head, like if I can't be physically at some like beautiful place, then I just kind of create it in my head. If we're on tour, yeah, like if you're in some like shitty town, no offense, whoever I'm talking about, but you just have to create in your head, like, you know, it's more of a state of mind, I guess. And you just have to put yourself in your happy place. Pictures of beer, clowns on unicycles, stuff like that.
Grandma.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's now time for our fan question segment called Mr. Operator, where we answer your questions on the air. If you want to have your question read and answered on the air, text or call us anytime at 805-225-6886 or send us an email to podcast at irationmusic.com. Our fan question for today was called into our Mr. Operator hotline by Savannah from Portland, Oregon. Their question was, when you are all living together on the road, what is your biggest pet peeve? Ooh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Push.
I already know Kaysen's.
Adam, what is that? What's Kaysen's?
I'd say Kaysen's would be when he's ready to make a cocktail or even a mocktail. When he opens up the Gatorade 5-gallon, there's no ice there. He will just lose his shit.
Yeah, I like a cold drink, man. I'm probably not alone in that. Drake, you seem like you agree.
I 100% agree. But I don't
show
think
some I've, support, man.
I don't think I there's ever been a time a lot where of cocktails. There hasn't been any ice. Actually, that's not true. Sometimes there's days off where there's no ice.
You know, you want to know why that is, Drake?
Because of you being a diva, and I love it.
That's right. Okay, I got a pet peeve. I'd say mine is when, especially when we're in a big city and you want to watch TV and there's no cable, and maybe we haven't recorded enough the night before or in the days leading up. So then there's nothing to watch. That's kind of
is this a pet peeve that peeve. Just a general pet peeve or a pet peeve that somebody else is doing?
This was something that someone else was doing to you, like on the road. Like what annoys you the most, like on tour that someone's doing?
Or just about living together.
Yeah.
What you have to deal with.
Like what does someone do to really just tick you off?
It's always a bummer to get to the coffee pot in the morning and have someone just pour out like the very last cup.
Yeah, right, but Kaysen, here's my
you're
pet
that
peeve.
That's you. That's you, Dante.
I'm the guy that made the pot, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, just, but then you pour like 8 pints into your coffee mug, dude.
Yeah, just a little insight for the fans listening. Everyone brings their own standard size regulation coffee mug, and Case brings this like 44-ounce Yeti, like gargantuan.
He's got the super big gulp for coffee.
That's my breakfast.
Well,
man.
See you later. Also, weak brew. That's a big pet peeve for me.
Oh, dude.
It's a watery, weak, watery brew in the morning.
Whoa, let's call out who are the weak brewers, though? I mean, that's really...
Well, Colin attempted to make a few, and he wasn't always a coffee drinker. So when he first started, he was making some really weak brew.
I like I like a stiff brew. Like, I like to taste, like, every note. Like,
that's weak brew.
I like it when you pour the coffee out and it's like tar.
I want my spoon to stand up in it.
Pure sludge.
What other pet peeves are there? My pet peeve would be like, my number one pet peeve would be when we're trying to go to bed and somebody's like bumping music in the front lounge. I mean, it doesn't happen
or
as
hearing
much.
Hearing Drake cackle at like 3 a.m.
Or the morning when I'm still like some of us go to sleep later and wake up later. Some wake up early, some wake up later. I like usually like go to sleep really late, so I wake up like closer to when it's time to go to sound check. And like if I'm still trying to sleep or I took a long time to get to sleep, and then you hear everybody kind of was waking up, and you're like, okay, whatever, I can still keep sleeping. And then you hear Drake's in your bunk, and you're just like, and then it keeps happening like over and over again, and you're like, okay, shut up.
Just to add to that, some people get up early and then they go out to the front lounge and they leave the door open and then they just start cackling really loud.
Oh,
and then,
yeah,
you know, that's one
leaving
thing.
That
or
yeah. Or when you hear Poosh playing Call of Duty till 5 a.m. and your bunk is right there and you just hear him being like, okay, did you get him, okay, now go around to the left, get him, and it's just like shooting and just it's
Can't hear the shooting. It's in my headphones.
Now it is. But in the beginning.
No, it's more like you yelling when you die, like, ah.
And sometimes Micah does make the sound effects where he's like, pew, pew, pew. Got him.
Something about Micah cussing out a 13-year-old just puts me right to bed.
Yeah, see? Some people like it. Some people don't. All right.
Here's what I think we can all agree on.
It's all about balance.
Sometimes Colin will forget to put radio. Meet and greet or performances on our day sheet or in our master tour. So sometimes it's like you're getting woken up and you're having to go straight into like a really bright radio setting.
Yeah, let's bag on Colin since he's not here.
Yeah, exactly. And without and plus you don't get a chance to shower before. And
I think Adam's other pet peeves are like leaving things willy-nilly in like the halls and like bags and stuff. He's kind of
like, are you going to finish? Are you done with that spoon?
Yeah, it's funny. Drake's boyfriend mentioned, I was chatting with him on the bus the other day, and he's like, did you notice you just tuck the remote and everything on the table in front of you and just put it a certain way? And I was like, it's kind of a pet peeve of mine when, yeah, things are left down. I kind of just have to straighten them. I don't know what,
OCD.
What do you call that.
That's OCD.
It's called OCD.
Also, here's the other things that I think everyone hates. Pee on the toilet seat.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I really hate that. I wipe up pee a lot of other people's urine on a daily basis. Like, I know I've been called the messy person, but I also wipe up more urine probably than anybody per capita in the entire, like, two buses, okay? So I will go ahead and you can take my spoon that I accidentally left on the on the countertop, and Drake, I'll trade you for the gallon of pee that I've wiped up in the last like tour. And then I'll also throw in the people that when they wake up, if they wake up early, like the, say we're in Florida or something, we're going to play golf. The boys are going to go play, or the boys are going to play or go surfing or something. And they wake up way earlier to go get on the boat or whatever they're going to do. And they flip on the hall light in the bunk area. And then they all just dig out and they leave the light on. That's not okay, dog. That's not okay.
How about the great debate over walkability, guys?
Ooh, don't bring up Nashville.
Hey,
too
guys,
soon.
Let's
too
just
soon.
Talk about
walking.
So the two weeks later when a tornado literally destroyed that entire parking lot and venue.
Right. There's also a lot of beef between the folding bike crew versus golf crew in terms of underbus storage and putting things away.
Hey Adam, it's week four. Should we use our bikes?
That's in reference to not pulling the bikes out once on whatever the last tour was.
It was
Let's
so
bring
cool.
our folding bikes on a winter tour.
It was freezing.
That's a cool bus bay. I think I'm gonna put my bike in it.
Man, this question really stirred the pot.
It really did, which is why I put it on here. We gotta get all the beef.
Pot.
So does everyone feel a little bit better now that you've gotten all of your feelings out?
Let's all think of a peeve that we have against Drake.
Oh.
Excuse me, Casey. What about when he hid Micah's silverware? Wasn't that kind of a beef?
Ooh.
You almost got beat up, Drake.
I almost got beat up. Well, I was so tweaked at this whole situation, and I don't know why I was so mad.
Dishes in the sink. Yeah, it was because it all stemmed from people leaving dishes in the sink, which is another pet peeve for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It also stemmed from me just wanting to like save the environment, you know? Wow, yeah. What a dick. Like, and, wow. Sorry, I'm against like using like 50,000 plastic forks and knives and spoons like during.
No, I don't think anybody's against that. I think it was just like, clean it. Clean your dish or
and,
your
and
spoon.
It wasn't about like,
that. Goes with it. You know?
No, it wasn't about that. He literally just stole my spoon and then kept it in his bunk for the entire tour. And so I was like the only one without a spoon, going like, "Where the hell's my spoon?" I literally went through the drawer like 30 times trying to find it.
And then
the last night of tour, he's like
carved on. So.
And last night of tour, he comes, he's like, "Here's your spoon."
It was like. Cone was supposed to put it on your mic on the last show, and he didn't. He totally.
I was like, cool. I'm leaving. I was like, getting my stuff off the bus to go home. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Well, the good idea of saving plastic, which is obviously we're all on board with, quickly devolved when everybody had their initials engraved into their silverware, and then the people started leaving them out and blaming others for using their fork or stealing each other's spoons and forks. And it got ugly real quick.
Sounds like a political argument.
It's propaganda.
It sounds Spoon like gate. Exactly what's happening in the country right now.
Stemware
hey,
gate.
Hey, this is a good idea. Hey, that guy stole my spoon and then used it and then didn't wash it. Yeah, there you go. That's how it all starts.
Mm-hmm.
Starts from a good place and quickly devolves.
Joe, do you have any other more pet peeves before we go?
Honestly, it's really hard to piss me off. I think my only pet peeve is probably just a personal problem. Like, if I go to the bathroom and there's not a baby wipe, it's just kind of a personal issue. That's it.
Or, fair enough.
My other one is getting somewhere and the venue's locked and we don't have access. And, you know, speaking of Zen Island, first thing every morning is a specific place, you know, and so
also the toilet.
Getting somewhere and not having access to that is quite infuriating at some.
There was times. A story. A certain sound engineer of ex sound engineer of ours.
Oh my god!
Had Don't. To use the bathroom really bad in Omaha, Nebraska, and it was a Sunday, and literally no businesses were open. And he had to tuck away in an alley, and squat in an alley. And he, as he began, a car literally drove through the alley. That's road life, y'all. That's just the truth. I'm not trying to, like, you know.
At sign, golf and stuff.
That's up there with hot bagging, you know. Oh. It's showbiz, baby.
That will be a whole other episode about hot bagging.
There's going to be an NA sign on this podcast.
We're going to have to call it potty talk.
Explicit.
Watching MB really quickly waddle off the bus at 10 a.m. is entertaining, though.
That's always pretty fun, too, is when there's only one bathroom in a venue and someone's in there and it's like...
It's always MB.
It's always MB. And you've already kind of like physically gotten ready to go in.
Let's just say you don't want to be the fifth guy into the same bathroom. You want to be the first.
The old brown waddle. Double entendre there.
Oh my god. Well, boys, thank you all for coming on here. Go check out Zen Island if you haven't listened to
on
it
that
yet.
Note
on that note
brown
on
note.
The brown note.
This is potty talk.
This has been the poop lifter.
Check out our podcast.
He called the shit poop.
Oh fuck,
don't put it out with your boots.
Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Irations the Uplifter. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your preferred podcast platform is. And remember,
there's nothing funnier than a fart, dude. When poop's got you
down.
When poop's got you down.
And remember, when the news gets you down, you can always tune in to the to the Uplifter. Jesus.
I remember it like yesterday. From in the back of my mind, I was awakened from a dream and given a sign. Sailed out following the stars till I was all but lost. And when I came ashore, knew I had to stay, no matter the cost. Saw the streams flowing by the light of the moon. I saw the truth in my reflection in a blue lagoon. I'll get back to the island if I can find my way. My worries and my fears, the pain and the tears drift away. Gotta get back to the island just to know it's real. Out past the horizon skies, every shade of the color wheel. Sunrise that morning, I felt an ocean breeze, and the sound of the raindrops put my mind at in a waterfall. Ate food from the trees. Climbed to the top of the mountain so that I can see. A tidal wave coming, I knew my time was through. I knew I'd find my way back eventually to make the dream come true. I'll get back to the island if I can find my way. My worries and my fears, the pain and the tears drift away. Gotta get back to the island just to know it's real.